Introductions. Ali Tom, Council Staff.
Liz Stem, Council Staff.
Kirk Adams, Member.
Cesar Cadavas, Council.
Ron Hernandez, Council Member.
Council One, Council Co-Chair.
Mark Bomer, Council Staff.
So reviewing the January 5th draft agenda. Go ahead and take a look. Any amendments? Approved by consensus and opposed in motion. And then review the October 6 minutes. It's been a while since we met. Anyone opposed to approving as written? Okay. Approved. Announcements. Great. Moving right along. Public comment. All right. So the next item is co-chair election. So we, Jose Luis had asked us to review this item because since he was recently elected to replace Eileen as the governmental co-chair, he was wondering if you still wanted to keep the structure that we have in this group of having, since he won't be in the council staff role any longer, if you wanted to keep us as co-chairs. That's totally up for discussion.
Does he want to do it?
My impression, so sorry, I feel weird, a little weird speaking for him. My impression was that he has completely opened whatever the group decides, and that if the group wants him to continue on, he's happy to do that.
So originally, there was, I don't know if you guys were all here from the beginning of this work group. I think you all were, but I guess just as a reminder, I initially mentioned to the group that this is this particular work group and the needs assessment work group are a little bit different than committees in that they often have staff, including DPH staff, as co-chairs, simply because those are the individuals who will be doing the bulk of the work and are most familiar really with what's happening with the topics on hand. So I actually don't think that changes if Jose Luis' role has changed to co-chair. He still is staff, still has possibly the most familiarity with the PMP on the prevention side. Again, though, that's really just the same opinion that I put forward before. It's not my decision.
Any discussion?
Oh, and the other thing is that this is on the agenda at Jose Luis's request. We'll be looking at whether when we'll be doing committee and workgroup elections at this upcoming steering committee meeting. So this is a bit of an outlier vote. But it's because of Jose Luis's own status change that he requested this be on the agenda.
So I'll say something. So if he's comfortable with it, I just don't feel comfortable putting his name forward if he's not here.
This isn't necessary. You don't need to vote on it if you don't want to.
Okay.
It was added in case the group decided that they wanted a new.
Oh, if we want a new one. But if
leadership.
No, I'm fine with it.
Does that sound okay? I would also add that the group will probably wrap pretty soon.
Yeah, looking at it.
Yeah. Charles?
Since Eileen resigned from the council, who is the next person who's going to take over our place?
Well, that's Jose Luis. Okay. We voted on that at the last full council meeting.
Okay. So, I have no problem nominating him. So, I would nominate him for, since he does all the work with the rebellion staff, no problem with it. So, I nominate Jose Luis as a continuing co-chair of policy and procedure.
How about the second co-chair?
And Ali, I'm sorry.
Keep it as is.
Yes.
As is. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is there a second to that?
I'll second.
Yeah, everyone. Okay. I guess a hand vote, is that all right? Okay. All in favor? Okay, so then just jump in. So I guess I can walk through the next why there's two items where there's usually one. So the first is policy and procedure review, which we've been doing consistently for the last couple of months. It's just going through policies and either consolidating them or amending language where appropriate. Then we have this new item, table of contents review, which is where we're going to try to look at the territory of like what hasn't been created yet, where there's not policies to consolidate or amend, where there is a need for new policies, and if there's any gaps that exist in our table of contents. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So just keep that in mind as we go through the remaining policies. If there's something that is like nagging in the back of your mind as a policy that needs to be created, just make a note of it and we can discuss it in agenda item 8. Yeah. Right, so I guess this right here, this January 5th, 2017 is the packet we'll be working from. I guess we can just dive right in. Do we know if there's folks from CHEP coming?
No, I haven't told about CHEP or HHS.
Okay. So, as we review these, we're not getting a CHEP perspective, but for some of these policies that are only HHS or previous care councils. So, for this first one, this development of comprehensive plan. This is a HHSPC policy. On the prevention side, there wasn't specific policy around developing jurisdictional plan, although they're now integrated, right? But the only references to the jurisdictional plan were with regards to the letter of concurrence, and that policy has already passed through here. So this is the only policy that exists regarding the plan. I'm not sure what the cycle is now. Is it 5 years? A 5-year cycle for
that? Sure if it's 3 or 5. I think it's a 5.
Yeah. Charles?
It's 5.
Okay. Yeah, so that's right off the bat something that would need to change.
I think the title would also need to change.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So everywhere it says comprehensive plan, it would be the integrated plan, right? I don't know if it has a longer name, but integrated plan. The other, so in the, this policy and what existed in the prevention side doesn't reference any of the requirements of the integrated plan that's in the guidance. And there's like a joint guidance released by, that was released by both person, CDC, which references that. I don't know if that's necessary for our manual or not. Maybe it can be included as an appendix, but this seems to just go through how the plan, how the council weighs in on the plan.
I think if we're going to be looking at this as a sort of start, I think the basic changes are obvious. Maybe you can just take out anything after SFDPH and just leave it at SFDPH is charged, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, the comprehensive plan to integrate it, the HIV Health Service Planning Council to community. The Community Planning Council, etc. The draft plan this past year was not reviewed by GPA. It's my understanding it was actually reviewed by steering. So I wonder how the group feels about taking GPA off of that and just say the draft plan will be reviewed by the steering committee. Although you might want to say the draft plan will be reviewed by the work group and the steering committee.
Mm-hmm.
And then refer to the full council.
Do you want to keep GPA?
I don't know. GPA, yeah. So on the care council side, our comprehensive plan was reviewed in an annual steering retreat that we had. In the past couple years prior to the merge, the steering retreat was replaced not really replaced, it was just, let's see, the year before we merged, the 2 years before we merged, we had, I guess we did have a steering retreat where this was reviewed, but then the year after that, it was mainly reviewed by GPA, and there was no steering. So there needs to be ongoing annual review, obviously. I don't know whether it should be by it's not GPA anymore, Council Affairs or not. That makes that does make sense, as much as any other committee, I suppose.
Was that going to be discussed in any of the groups? For some reason, I have it in my head that maybe steering was going to discuss where the comprehensive plan would, or the integrated plan would be monitored.
Yeah, on the agenda, it's been pushed now for about three different meetings. But on the agenda for steering again this month will be who will be watching the watchman, who will be watching the integrated plan on an ongoing basis. And we've just been waiting to hear from DPH about what their plan is as far as ongoing continual review and quality assurance of this plan. And so that hasn't been decided yet. One of the main topics is, will this happen at steering, or will the integrated plan work group be reconvened on an ad hoc basis to do an ongoing review? We don't know. So I wonder if we should just take out that last phrase, since, although it is good to have something in here that actually describes where the ongoing review is going to be, right?
Yeah, I think
we could put a pin in that last line and bring it back when it's discussed. Next one.
So just maybe update it in all the other smaller ways.
Yeah, actually, would that be all right if we review and approve this policy? Can we bring it to full council with that small amendment?
Yes.
Is it good all right with that? Okay.
Yeah, and so, yeah, if this is approved, then by this group, can go to steering. They might have a decision at steering, and if not, it can go to the full council.
Okay. Another thing that I see in this is in the beginning of the first or beginning of the second paragraph where it says that HHS convenes the work group.
Say SFDP, I would say that, I make that a joint thing, SFDPH and the Planning Council. And maybe not may, but will.
Also, just the language, like nitpicking, the phrasing of the last part of it kind of seems redundant to me. That and in accordance with the policies developed and approved for the establishment of such working groups.
Yeah.
Do folks mind if we strike that?
Yeah.
Should we do HRSA and CDC?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. To unpack there. Are there amendments or things that need to be added to this policy?
Not until after the steering committee.
Yeah. So, the potential, I think that the only things on the table, right, would be either the work group itself or steering. Is that right?
Right.
Is that what's being discussed? So that's what you would see. That's the amendment you would see.
So can you name both?
I think it depends on what they decide, right?
Yeah.
We'll just plug.
We can
literally
do like
plug it
the
in.
The approved plan is reviewed at, and then just kind of like a blank line
mm-hmm.
on an annual basis, and then steering can just plug in what they determine. Make sense? So then this.
So
part,
which work group is going to be?
That's what steering will be deciding. So you guys can approve all the different changes. That this will just be a blank line for steering just to fill in when you need the steering.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other amendments to this policy? So we can see the changes up on the board up here. Okay. We ready to vote?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see the. The A is highlighted.
Thank you, Mark.
I'm sure that no one would ever have thought to correct that if I hadn't jumped in there the last minute.
True. Nobody would have seen
my
day line.
Again. Sorry.
Ready for a vote?
Sure.
All in favor? Okay. Approved. Great. All right. So the next policy, same page. This one is about the grantee assessment, which is a HRSA requirement. So this continues. There's no parallel policy or requirement on the prevention side. The grantee assessment is about assessing how the grantee disperses funds and making sure that it's in accordance with the council's priorities. In the past, we've done this through the director's report that we receive and also by doing our own internal assessment, just a series of surveys and interviews.
We haven't done a full grantee assessment.
We have. Yeah. We did it recently, actually. Just last year, Allie put together a grantee assessment. She did an excellent job. It was made up of, it was a report really that relied on a series of interviews she did with various stakeholders, including service providers, DPH staff, and council members. That all together. It's in a report and it's on our website. I don't think this needs to be an annual thing, but clearly from what you recall from the conference, it is something that councils do.
Yeah. We just need to change the HIV health services, please.
Oh, that should actually stay because this is not a prevention side thing at all. Yeah. The prevention, there's no grantee assessment parallel for CHEP.
Okay.
We don't assess them.
Are there any questions about this policy or the any amendments? The steering retreat, is that still apply? Oh, yeah. Second bullet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because the annual steering retreat hasn't happened for a while, right? Is that right, Mark?
Yeah, why don't we just take out during the annual steering retreat? That could just be a general phrase.
Any other amendments or questions?
Right.
So how often do we do a council survey?
I would say intermittently. Before Allie did hers, it had probably been at least 5 years since we had done a full report. But we do, the council, and in particular DPH, feels this mandate from HRSA is fulfilled in a less, a smaller scale way through the means that Allie mentioned, which include the monthly report, the full council, etc. But this was the first larger scale one that we've done in a while. I don't think it needs to be an annual thing, but it can certainly happen.
What about the provider surveys?
Same thing. It's all
the
part of the
same
piece. Yeah. So council member interviews, a provider interview, all of that happens to create that grantee assessment.
Any other questions or amendments? Okay. So we'll go ahead and vote. All of those in favor? Okay, approved. Okay. Page 3. So this is the UTRAPS representative policy. So this is actually not, this is a prevention role that UTRAPS, I cannot for life remember right off the top of my head what it stands for. But it's a similar to any of our representatives that we had on the care side. And we had tabled it from early on in our PMP process. There wasn't a policy in the manual on the prevention side, but what there is the guidance from CDC, which is what's copied here under representation. I'm not sure if there is an interest in making a job description like there has been for other like leadership roles or representative roles, or just keeping the gist of what the role entails. We have, so for maybe a different take on what a representative role might look like on the next page is the LTCCC representative job description, which we also haven't approved, which is a care side representative to the long-term care coordinating council. So this one includes a description of the council, the position, qualifications, and responsibilities.
Why can't we just keep that? Can we just keep
this
that?
One?
Yeah.
The format?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess my question is, do we really need job descriptions for these representatives? Is that what you're asking? That's
yeah,
what
I'm
you're
asking. There's these are kind of two paradigms, right? I mean, this one isn't a policy. It's from the taken directly from the guidance.
Okay.
But it's like whether you want, because both of these policies need to be approved, and it's like which do you prefer, or do you want to keep them different, or. Like for, I'm trying to recall the co-chair job descriptions and the committee co-chair job descriptions. They all have a very similar format, and it's really boilerplate. So if you want to have those be similar, or if you think that it's just repetitive at a certain point, you could go either way with it.
Was it always discussed with you, this?
Yeah, it's taken, so I mean, he sent it to me from the CDC guidance because there isn't a policy around it.
I would just adopt the policy.
With no job description?
Yes.
Okay, so this is, again, it's just to clarify, it's not a policy, it's a CDC
guidance.
Requirement.
Yeah,
yeah, guidance
that's
directly taken from the
CDC.
CDC
guidance.
Okay.
Unless if they
we
have a job description or it somewhere, they don't. So we need to make up a job description. Is that what you're asking us?
Yeah. You don't have to do a job description unless you want to.
But
if these are just the requirements.
Since we have job description on LPCC and everything else on the co-chair, let's do the standard format to adopt this as like a job description, like same format that we have with the co-chairs. And of course, it's going to be different. I mean, 50 plus and stuff like that.
So you're in favor of adopting the same model that from LTC?
Just to be consistent and to be the full standard of the new council.
Okay.
Yeah, I think consistency is a good thing. Liz, would you mind just copying and pasting that above? So that
we can even take like the headers and just make sure that we have something that would go underneath each. I don't have offhand like a description of UCAPs. This would be for the first item or like the responsibilities of the representative. I actually don't really feel equipped to put that together. I think that Jose Luis or someone from CHEP is better.
I think that we need to do something because the UCHEP representative is up for a vote this month.
Mm-hmm.
We should be able to bring something to them.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think we should start, and if there are things
mm-hmm.
that need to be filled in, we can do the same thing we did for the comprehensive plan
and
bounce it to steering, but we at least bring steering something to look at in advance of the vote.
And you could announce it with use chat. What else is missing? I think it's just the consistency that the new council should have.
Yeah.
It almost seems to me like this guidance, we can use it directly for the position item. I feel like it fits pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And that leaves the other three items, if you want to add those. One thing we could do is we could ask Jose Luis to put together a UCHAP's program description
mm-hmm.
for the first item.
Mm-hmm.
Looks, yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. Okay, and then how do folks feel about using what's already there, the guidance, as a position item?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like us to change the language so that it's more specific to the council instead of the jurisdiction's local HIV planning body?
Yes.
Yeah.
In that case, then maybe we should there's that line, second paragraph, second sentence. The jurisdiction may select their other community representative based on their own criteria.
Yeah.
time do we want to just start plugging away at qualifications and responsibilities?
Yeah, I mean, in just looking at these, there shouldn't be much change.
Yeah.
Right?
We just go point by point.
Yeah.
You know, mainly name change. But some things probably taken out as well.
Yeah.
So
but
just
not
do
like much addition. I think it's pretty accurate. We just need to take out some verbiage and some things.
Okay. We want to work from Liz's version up here.
Take the second sentence off the first bullet point.
Yeah. Representation will strive to. Is that.
Keep that for the LTCC, but.
Yeah, for this.
For your challenge,
Is there a desire to see. I think maybe 50 plus refers to the work of the LTCCC, but I'm wondering if there is a desire to strive for representation from consumers.
That went over my head just sweeping.
So with no 50 plus, because no LTCC, that still leaves PLWH consumer services, or even just consumer services prevention
right.
or otherwise. Do you want to still have that as a target?
Consumer services.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're targeting both positive and their partners, right?
Yeah.
Are folks cool with keeping that? We'll just strike
mm-hmm.
50 plus PLWH.
Does that make sense?
Can we identify any consumers of HIV prevention services on the council?
That's
so that on the council.
I don't know.
So we can
I actually don't know. I wonder if you guys would, it's a little outside the box, but I know this has worked in the past. If you'd like to even adjust it to include a consumer or provider of services, because that's something that would fit Paul Harkin, who has been a UCHAP representative, a very good one, which there might not be room for him if we simply leave it at consumer of services.
That makes sense, so let's think out of the box.
Mm-hmm. That's fine, because it fits the criteria with the UCHAPs. Is
right.
The jurisdiction may select their other community representative based on their own criteria.
Yeah.
That could be our criteria.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure it's going to go well with the provider on site and some of the people in the council.
Yeah.
If it's written well. And this would be the first that we have consistency on all policy.
I guess I have. Adding providers seems to me to just open it almost to the entirety of the council. And since it says strive for, I just wonder if it sort of takes the power away from striving for consumer representation, which is the like original intent behind having, I don't know, leadership roles carved out for consumers.
No, because
there's two community representatives, right? There's two government and there's two community.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's more community centric to say to strive for consumer representation. Doesn't that expand it almost the entire council? We can certainly keep it as is, consumers or providers.
I mean, I think that's fine, right? Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, one of the community representatives has to be, what is it, a co-chair? Past president or future community co-chair. So that leaves the other community seat as that.
Right.
Consumer provider of services.
So, to speak to Allie's point, so two of these four seats are taken, one by the government co-chair of the council and one by a member of government, not council member, right, the head of the whatever program receives the funding. So that leaves two, which could conceivably be a consumer of services and a service provider. Is that correct, what I just said?
Well, under this, it could either be two.
I mean, not even looking at this, like from what I just said, though, that's correct. So then maybe rather than it should be or, because that could potentially cut out a consumer, if possible, representation will strive to include both a consumer and provider.
So that it's not one or the other?
Yeah, so then in some ways, if there's two left, have one be a consumer, have one be a provider.
What's a consumer?
And if we don't have a, and if we include Strive, that means if we don't have a consumer and prevention services, which we do on the council, but if we don't, or if we don't have a provider who steps up, we're not putting ourselves in a hole either. And so that is really, in some ways, micromanaging that process. But in some ways, that's good, though. That allows representation of all three sorts of council members to be UCHAP representatives.
Mm-hmm. How do folks feel about
that
amendment?
Mm-hmm. Oh. So according to the guideline, one of the government representatives is from the health department, traditionally the lead staff person for HIV prevention programs within the jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
The jurisdiction may select their other governmental representative based on their own criteria. So what is our criteria for the other governmental representative?
What I said was actually incorrect. Thank you for reading that out loud. So two government representatives, one from the health department, one is the lead staff. So that's already two done. And then of the community representatives.
It has to be a past, present, or future community co-chair.
Yeah, so that actually quite potentially means that there's not going to be that a consumer prevention services or a provider. Like one, it'll have to be one or the other. I'm so glad you read that out loud.
But there's another question there, right? Which is how do we decide the government representative, what's the criteria for the other government representative that's not the lead staff person?
Right. I mean,
is that, can you speak to, do we normally decide that? Does the council decide that, or does CHAP decide that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know that I've recognized the prevention program person from the health department and UCHAPs. Who are the other representatives?
Tracy is one of them. And Jose Luis is the other. And I think, actually, that might be it.
That's it.
And then it was Paul and David.
Mm-hmm.
So if there were two of them, then how did they determine that? Because that would seem...
What are their roles?
Well, David was a co-chair. That's why.
You mean government?
But the government ones.
So Tracy would be the lead of the department, right?
Okay.
And then Jose Luis would be the other.
Yeah, so if
but
you look at it,
I don't know how they were decided.
Because they kind of divide it right there into four sections right there. The first section is one of the government representatives must be from the health department, as traditionally the lead staff person for HIV prevention programs within the jurisdiction. Tracy. The jurisdiction may select their other government representative based on their own criteria. It was and is Jose Luis. One of the community representatives must be the past, present, or future community co-chair. That was David Gonzalez. And then that leaves one more, and that was Paul Harkin.
I like that future community coach.
Yeah. I mean, I guess anyone could be.
That's true.
That is tricky. That's tricky. Because I don't think we want to do anything that necessarily eliminates the potential for someone who is currently serving to continue to serve if the council sees fit to reelect them.
Right.
Yeah. Does that language bind it? It doesn't seem to me.
I think your addition of Strive actually just really solved things.
Mm-hmm.
Solved things a lot there. It opens it up.
It doesn't answer the question about government. How the criteria on which government representatives are selected. I think it leaves it, the
very
guidance
open.
Seems to be really vague,
yeah.
But it doesn't say who decides.
But can we then get that answer from someone?
I think that will be hard. I mean, I think Chef could certainly answer that question, but I think they've just sort of had a discussion internally about who they would like to.
So the other government representation was from the staff. Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, these are the guidelines from the CDC, so it's kind of like you got two government that's already taken and one co-chair that's already taken. So the fourth one is really the only one we can kind of decide as a council.
Yeah. Although
you can decide the other community co-chair one. You can decide, but it's just like from a limited range of options, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Past, present,
yeah.
future.
Yeah.
Or future. but yeah, you're right. I mean, like, if I were to like guess what CHEP's perspective on the governmental co-chairs would be that it makes sense for them to have representation at those kind of meetings from their staff to better inform planning. But I wonder if they should be a part of the discussion before we.
I mean, this will go to steering anyway. I think since we're all on the same council or council staff on the same council, this group can still put something forward. Mm-hmm. But let's see.
Do we want to leave it purposely
vague? Let's just
think
if the people who are currently in it are people who want to continue and more importantly are people that the council or CHEP would like to mm-hmm. continue as well. Jose Luis would still be, I mean, he's co-chair, so he could fit into that third one, but he could actually still fit into that second one. So there could be another community co-chair of the four or five who fills that third, and then a fourth person, Paul, or someone else,
mm-hmm.
for the fourth.
Oh, I just understood.
Yeah,
say
so that would mean, so Jose Luis would stay as, so Tracy stays as number one.
Uh-huh.
Jose Luis stays as number two.
Right.
Even though he's a co-chair, he's already in number two. So that leaves literally four other co-chairs, Charles, Linda.
Or
a whole bunch of people, actually.
A whole bunch of potential present co-chairs.
I think that we could even leave it as, if possible, representation will strive to include both a consumer and provider of services, because you're still saying,
okay.
We would love to have one of these be a provider and one be a consumer, and we can, because one parameter is really wide open, and the other parameter is make your own parameter.
Right, okay.
I mean, given that we're an integrated council and we have somebody from care and prevention as governmental
mm-hmm.
co-chairs, we could adopt the criteria of the government representative to be the other co-chair.
If we wanted,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Because traditionally in other jurisdictions, it's kind of the co-chairs are definitely people who go
mm-hmm.
to these meetings.
Yeah. The only problem then could arise from that is if, say, the group decides they want to elect Dean in that third position, at least one position left for either a consumer of services or a provider of services. And so that would mean either Paul as a provider or someone else instead of Paul as a consumer. Although, you know, in some ways, DPH is also considered services, so I mean, that can be stretched a bit. It is stretched though. In some ways, like, this is one of those wait and see policies to see how the vote turns out, to see where we can slot people in.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Is that what if we make a decision and then the votes go as a different?
Well, it says strive, so you know, you're not bound.
I mean,
right.
Kind of going back, and I think that usually when the community co-chairs, past, present, and future, are definitely a consumer or provider of services.
Yeah, and now that I see
yes.
that word community, Dean actually would not be a person you could elect into that role. It'll be every co-chair except for Delene.
Yeah.
Dean and Jose Luis. It was Delene.
Yes,
it was Eileen, but now it's Jose Luis.
Luis.
I think that could work then. It's funny to have all this conversation and still kind of stick with it, but I think it can work.
Yeah. And then are folks in favor of just not addressing the governmental representative piece directly? Just leaving it vague? Also, what's interesting about, I feel like, adopting this method is that we're talking about multiple different job descriptions, sort of. Right? Like, you, to qualify, you need... There's like you fit into. I guess we could just have like one of the items be like you have to be either a governmental representative or a community representative or a past, previous, future, whatever community co-chair.
Mm-hmm. we change that second one? Or do we just remove it?
Replace Ryan White with CDC?
Yes, we have to replace Ryan White with CDC.
But.
Because the UCHAP, I'm sorry, UCHAP deals with a bit more than CDC. I mean, they're in DC on the Hill as well.
Just looking up like the
thank you, Dean.
The scope. I mean, just the initial thing that pops up is that it's to strengthen HIV prevention efforts in U.S. urban areas most impacted by HIV needs. But I don't know. I mean, I have to click a couple more times to get the full scope. It seems like it maybe not just CDC requirements and processes, but like just
why don't we just talk about general
yeah,
public.
I was going to say, like that sentence, commitment to become knowledgeable.
Yeah,
I mean,
so strike it out. We don't need it now. Strike it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you are committed. If you.
Because I mean, as a member, you're supposed to be.
Right? Exactly.
Right,
that's
yeah.
what I was
yes.
just gonna, that's what I was saying. So why? How do we measure that?
Yeah.
You
the
can.
Level. You've, okay. Just take it out.
I think the fourth one is like all urban cities.
We just remove that whole section. You know, like
yeah,
that it's
fine.
Stretch after in the San Francisco. I wish I knew more about what UTRIP's representative.
Yeah,
they
are talking
the
about things on the national level and beyond their jurisdiction. So I think taking that out, as Liz suggested, makes sense.
Right. And like what type of work is involved? Public speaking? Is it, you know, what's
being
more
on,
of the job?
Being on a conference call and sometimes meeting with various politicians or government reps.
Okay.
Mm. So I think that goes into five. I mean,
yeah,
that goes into, but that's five something can include that ability to
mm-hmm.
be out in public.
Item six.
Don't embarrass us.
Yep, that looks good.
UCHAP meetings. And may participate in UCHAP's various workgroups and events. And then take out in addition everything after events. Yeah, I think
it's
we took that out because
right?
I don't know if we need to refer to UCHAP's requirements. I don't know what they are. And then maybe the apostrophe after the S on UCHAP. And yeah, take away the
yeah. So is there an alternate for UCHAPs?
That I'm familiar with.
So we can just delete item 4. The rest.
So there's an alternate?
I don't think so. I mean, there's four
it's
of
not
them,
spelled
so
out.
I'm not
yeah.
sure it's necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's take a note on that. And let's just clarify that.
That's good.
Yeah. So what we have mm-hmm. then is the first part, which is the equivalent of the description section,
mm-hmm.
will be put together by Jose Luis and presented at steering, if that's all right. Is it okay if we just plug that in?
Yeah.
Okay. Followed by the representation section under the position item,
mm-hmm.
with the second sentence of paragraph 2 taken out. And then the qualifications and
yeah.
responsibilities.
Excellent.
Yeah. Folks feel comfortable voting on this one?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All in favor? Great. Passed.
How many LTCCC representatives does the council have?
We have one plus
an
one alternate.
Okay.
Currently, I don't know how active they are, honestly. Ship and TJ?
Yeah, they're very active.
Ship is actually very active. He's just been nominated to represent the LTCC on the Disability Council.
He got in.
You got it?
Yeah.
All
right.
Yeah.
So, this one is a format that we literally just looked at. anything that pops out?
Any changes?
Oh, you know what we didn't do on U-Chats is...
Oh, term limits?
Term limits.
Yeah.
Should we just plug in the 2 years? Make it consistent?
Renewable
what
2 years.
What is their term limit? Do you know?
It's a 2 year term. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I don't know if there is one.
I think they do that annually.
Do you know?
I have no idea.
We could plug in the 2 year thing and see if anything shakes out as steering.
Yeah, just plug it in.
Okay, so we can just use that same language. UCHAP's representatives are elected for a renewable 2 year term.
Because it's consistent with all the standards that we have. So
it's also good to have consistent representation.
Right.
Yeah, because coaches are 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up striking item 2 from qualifications from the last one, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to strike that one here too?
Yeah.
Okay.
One would think that would be something that would be a requirement to even be on the council.
Right?
Is that in like a council member's job description?
I think when we originally wrote these, we were just really making sure to cross every T, not every I. Should be.
I want that commitment there.
Are you committed? Are you
so
eligible?
Can we, when you're going through that job, just all the job description, can you see if that's all included, number 2, and maybe we should strike it out?
You mean going back through all of the job descriptions?
Yeah.
I don't have it with me.
That's a lot to have. I mean, if they've been approved by the council already, we can certainly take a look. But
I'm sure it is.
It's also not a super
substantive
change.
I remember. I think it is. But it's actually on the council. You already committed, and the sentence doesn't make sense. It needs to be.
Yeah, but it's not. I don't know if we need to specifically revisit approved policies because it's not something that
that's
damaging.
That's just my plug in.
Bullet number 4, should it be in the San Francisco EMA?
No. LTCCC is only for San Francisco.
Okay, so just
right.
The epidemic in San Francisco County.
Oh, yes.
In this San Francisco.
Yeah.
In the city, capital city.
Changes to this policy? Okay. Folks feel comfortable voting on this now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Liz, can you jot down, separate 1 and 2? Yeah, just stick with another space there.
There we go.
I'll just make it. I feel like formatting on the fly is not an easy task.
Let's just say it will be done.
Definitely,
yeah. I will be done. Eventually.
You're doing great.
Yeah.
You're doing really good.
All right. All right, ready to vote? All those in favor? Okay, great. Approved. Thank you. All right, so the next two policies are policies taken from the previous prevention manual, and they are referring to requests for letters of support, either from agencies or researchers. My impression upon reading it is that these policies exist to give to those researchers or agencies so that they have an idea of what they need to submit. I don't have a whole lot of background on it. I don't know how often this happens. And I mean, just most recently, what I recall from requesting a letter of support was for the Dignity Fund, of like an equivalent. There's no equivalent policy on the care side.
Maybe we should have Jose Luis maybe look at it.
We certainly can.
Do we have something like this?
No.
No, but we do support. Right.
It's tricky. We
yeah.
can, on the prevention side, it seems like it's tricky as well. On the care side, we have certainly the letters of support for various pieces of legislation.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot provide letters of support for specific care-funded agencies responding to grant proposals
right.
because of conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
I assume the same thing is for prevention section.
Too.
In which they can certainly support people to do research projects that can help prevention section, but can't do something to support the gaining of CDC funds.
It seems a little odd for an entity to write a letter of support to one of its funded grantees.
Absolutely.
If the purpose is what I maybe think it is, which is that you're just trying to come up with a pathway for things to be approved, and then also to have a list of requirements for folks submitting letters of support or applying for them, I guess. I wonder if we need this like codified policy.
I mean,
good point.
I mean, we
because the agency request one is no longer like, appropriate,
depth.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the researchers one, I don't know how frequently that happens that we couldn't accommodate. Or like
okay,
with the dignity.
Yeah,
fund.
There is this researchers one that follows.
Who
so I'm not sure if this is necessary. That's a great
yeah.
point.
Who developed this?
I don't know. It was in the prevention manual
okay.
as an appendix. So I'm not sure. It's written in very much the same style, so probably whoever wrote the rest of the
yeah.
prevention manual.
So can we just do it as an appendix?
Or I mean, could we
just
consider striking it actually?
Or yeah.
Because
this is a real messy.
Something like that is
potential mess. Here. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
on an
as needed,
needed basis,
yeah.
and there has to be a clear clearance of conflict of interest.
Right. So that's
part of the council to write a letter of support, particularly for grant proposals.
Usually, we don't write a letter of support. Usually, it's voted on a council that they present. Right.
Yeah, and I think even naming it. Open the door in some
way.
Yeah.
I think we should get rid of it.
So
yeah, because the only danger I see in this is potentially cutting off support for researchers, but they have their own policy that
yeah.
comes
absolutely.
Up next.
Absolutely.
So it would, how do you guys feel about just striking?
I'm in favor.
Strike no.
Yeah, that's messy.
So you're going to strike out the back letter, but you're going to keep the
research. Yeah, so the research goes on the next
yeah.
one. So we'll keep this, and the first one will go.
Yeah.
Do we need to vote on the striking of this policy?
Yes.
Okay. Is that the consensus around the room of
I mean,
for the agency on page 5, the agency request?
I mean, I'm, yeah, for striking it, I just also think that a higher up, like the steering committee, needs to make a decision about it.
Yeah.
So that it's
about
yeah.
the agency request specifically?
About letters of support from
yeah.
the council.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that
which is kind of in the process we've been doing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So when that request comes through, it actually goes to steering and the co-chairs first. Absolutely.
Right. And I wonder if on the next page, like with the researchers' request, if we should just extend that to letters of support or like, I don't know, signing something in support, because it comes up with legislation also.
Yeah, and
we
actually,
can just broaden the
so
scope.
So let's do the vote on removing this and then move to the researchers, because I think that could be a simple tweak to the other one to allow for like places like the Dignity Fund,
mm-hmm. yeah.
which is not an agency.
Okay.
Okay.
Shouldn't we get Jose at least look into it to see how essential it is?
You'll still get a chance. That's
well,
hearing, for sure. Yeah.
And the other thing is that we couldn't do this no matter what, right? Like, it would be, like, inappropriate
right.
for the council to...
Right.
No,
yeah,
the council
can adapt
it. It
would
be,
yeah,
right.
like, we don't even mention agency names.
No.
For, you know, so it would be...
Right.
This one's almost nullified, but the next page for sure.
Yeah, our own policy is nullified, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it being there, in some ways, is counter to our own conflict of interest on the care side and opens a door, which is a messy door.
So all those in favor of striking the agency request policy?
Striking that policy.
All in favor.
Great.
I'm in favor for striking out and keeping researcher one.
Okay. Struck. It's now on page 6. So it sounds like there's interest in broadening the scope of this request for letters of support.
Yeah.
Can
we also make sure that we present that to steering about the letter or any asking of any agency asking for letter support?
Yeah.
Okay. So, is there suggestions for how to broaden the language for around this one?
So I think the title should be changed to request for letter of support.
Yeah.
And then we look at it in two different ways. Local organization, let's just use an example, Researcher A and Dignity Fund. Dignity Fund would fall under local organization, and certainly Researcher A under individual researcher as well as local organization. And so we'd have to adjust that, first sentence to allow for something beyond the funding of research study. Certainly the Dignity Fund was not a research study.
Mm-hmm.
It was a funding stream. Or no, because
be
a
first.
Policy applies to local organizations and
individual
to
researchers,
researchers who request letters of support. Yeah, so in some ways, like, you don't need to strike anything. It doesn't need to change individual to two. So that we're clearly separating applies to local organizations and to researchers who request letters of support.
So there's that other thing
well,
still. It's like if it's a letter of support for a local organization for grant applications.
Why do we need the intent behind it? Can we strike after 4 for grant applications? It just applies
after
to those
four,
who request letters
where
of support.
At?
After 4 on the second line.
Oh.
So if we just say this applies to those who apply for letters of support.
Where are you looking
at? First sentence, second line.
Okay.
Is there a need to like specify what they need support
studies.
For? What's
yeah.
that?
So I'm just going to finish.
Oh, no. I was just saying that I don't know why we need to specify what they need it for.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just I feel like it's implied that you're supporting the idea of it.
Well, I think we need to say what it's for, and I don't know how that's going to sound, but if it's a research study that would then go towards a proposal.
Yeah, you know, this entire thing is really about researchers, so I'd like to take back what I said about striking the researchers' requests. We could just leave the letter of support idea open, because there's 3 kinds of letters of support, it looks like. There's ones that we definitely bar, which is from agencies and RFPs. There's more political or advocacy-based ones, like the Dignity Fund.
Right.
And then there's researchers' requests. So the first one is a non-starter. That's why we actually eliminated that policy. The second one, do we even need to have a policy around that? That one, that'll come to steering anyway. So why don't we just keep this one researchers and leave...
Well, I mean, now that I look at it, it's either local organizations or researchers. for research studies.
Exactly.
So it could be a local organization that's doing research that wants to get a letter of support. So
yeah.
it focuses on research no matter who's doing it.
Yeah. So Liz, can you put that researchers back in? Just make this more specific.
But it is proposals for funding.
For research.
Yeah, but that wouldn't necessarily be through our funding.
So if you read it further, so it is grant applications for funding research studies.
Right.
So could we be more diligent when we get, I mean, we would have to be when we get those requests that the funding isn't specifically coming, like we, like
yeah, because
there's no conflict of interest.
Right,
with
because.
The
we provide funding for services.
Right.
This is funding for research studies. This is not for provision of services.
Right.
So we could support an organization that receives funding for services to do research.
Yes.
So that really wouldn't be a